I don't know if the gentleman is still in the ministry or not, but I remember years ago at an acquaintance, he was at a little church, and he sold sandwiches between the two services, and but he was really, this is the word of God, and just pay attention. Well, this visitor had bought a sandwich, was eating. And boy, he just, how dare you eat while I'm teaching them? And the guy just stood up and said, hey, you sold me the sandwich. And turned around and walked off. So if you're eating candy, I have nothing I can say about it. Except I wished I had some too. So, okay, let's talk a few moments. First of all, next Sunday, that will be the 20th. We're going to have a congregational meeting after service. It will not be a voting. It will not be a vote. I got to make two weeks announcements before a vote. But next Sunday, after, we will have a discussion about meeting and what we want to do about that. And Jim will have a little financial report, and we'll just do some talking. And then we'll set up a time and vote. But right now, next Sunday, we will have, after service, spend a few minutes together in discussion. And where we want to meet. I want to thank everyone who came to the prayer meeting Tuesday night. It was most effective. And just appreciate everyone who was at the prayer meeting. We had a wonderful time in prayer. And so, just continue to be in prayer for guidance, that we'll just be where He wants us to be. People have asked me, I really don't have a preference. I just want to be where He wants us to be, where this is secure, where we can meet in fellowship. I'd like to have something for our young people. So we'll just have a discussion next Sunday evening. If you have any questions before then, please feel free to let me know. And we'll just try to get these things discussed. Any question about that? Yeah, right after service. Okay, now let's talk about, so we got next Sunday a meeting, just a discussion meeting, and then we got this going, and remind all you guys, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and let's see. Let's talk about prayer. John Hintz, or Judy Hintz, now is getting into bad neck coming from the spinal and all of that, and not getting a whole lot better, so please be in prayer for Judy. Courtney is, the baby's still in the womb. She's gone to the hospital about, I think, three times this week in the middle of the night with contractions, but they were able, and so John said, well, she's getting a regular customer there. And but they calm her down, and she's able to go back home to John and Judy's. Just every day the baby can stay in the womb increases the chances of the baby living and everything turning out okay. So continue to be in prayer for Courtney. John and Judy's son, Tom. Now, Tom was a sniper in the Marine Corps, and Tom was in a major motorcycle wreck yesterday. He did damage to his head, to his back, to his ribs, legs, just the whole 10 yards. So please be in prayer for Tom Hintz, and whatever God is doing there, we'll just be in prayer. Or Tom, and that I talked to John again this morning, and that's all we know at this point. So please be in prayer for Tom. Let's see, any other prayer requests here that I'm not familiar with? You mean this many people and I don't have prayer requests? Okay, well, let's be in prayer about where God wants us to assemble and continue our ministry and our outreach. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. But not only that, one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we live in a very tumultuous world. Satan's powers are seeking to take over countries. Antichrist, anti-Christian, anti-Jew. There's really unrest almost everywhere. What a privilege and joy it is to assemble ourselves with others who are like-minded and knowing who's in control of history, knowing that all things will work together for good to those who love, which means walking in the power of your Spirit. We consider it a wonderful privilege and opportunity here to worship together, minister with our young people, have the internet connections and outreach that you've given us. So many things that you're doing with this assembly. And Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. You will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Midst of everything going on, we have to always remember people as believers in Christ, the victory over the world, all the things going on in the world is our faith, trusting God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. Faith is the victory. So with that in mind, let's sing page 377, Faith is the Victory. 377. All right, Romans chapter 4, and let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to understand what's going on in these verses. Let's pray. 4,000 years hasn't changed a thing, Heavenly Father. The time of Abraham, you were looking for a grain of mustard seed of faith. Coming of Jesus Christ, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, session of Christ, sending of the Holy Spirit, some 2,000 years of the church. All you're still looking for is that faith. It's so simple, it's so opposed to our nature. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that we can learn from the faith of Abraham. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Who, Abraham, being beyond hope, on the basis of hope, believed in order that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, let's take a look. And without becoming weak in faith. The conjunction chi is based on what preceded. So let's translate it therefore. Therefore, now we have the aorist active participle of asthenao. Now, asthenao, not here to press you or anything, but just want you to see what's going on in some of these words. And this is asthenao. And see that A right there? That gives it a negative. That's A, and then S-T-E-N-E, long O. But there's your negative. So we have without becoming weak, or without becoming weak in faith. This means powerless, without strength, sick. And we spent some time in a study called The Crisis of Faith, looking at all these little expressions, little faith, weak faith, no faith, all this, and spent a lot of time. I'm just going to try to pull a lot of this together. Now, what is interesting here, without becoming weak in faith, is that aorist tense. This is what we call an ingressive aorist, with the negative may. Now, in the ingressive aorist, the action is looked at from its very beginning. At the very beginning of receiving this promise, Abraham did not doubt. This is astounding. We learned some things about the faith of Abraham. He did not doubt. From the giving of the promise by God, Abraham did not immediately start looking at his own hopeless condition and then started saying, God, it can't be done. He didn't do that. Right from the beginning, boom. God said it, I believe it. The active voice, Abraham produces the action of the verb. Abraham looked at his body, sexually dead and old. He looked at the promise, looked at his hopeless condition, looked at the promise, looked at God. I believe you. I believe it. No doubts. He looked at Sarah and her body, no doubts. Looked at his own body, no doubts. He kept his eyes on God. See? And as I'm going to show you, this is what strong faith means. Strong faith isn't like more faith. It's not faith is not a muscle. I'm going to show you that. So what does it mean by strong faith? So therefore, not becoming weak or powerless in that faith. We have pistis here plus a definite article. James speaks of dead faith. Faith that is dead. The phrases are used to show that where faith should be, there is no faith. When we have things like little faith, weak faith, where faith should be, there is no faith. Now, the best way I know how to walk through this is covered in 3 or 4 points. One, weakness. Weakness would have been, Abraham had his eyes on himself and on circumstances, occupied with his hopeless circumstances, his hopeless body, he would not have had faith in God. He'd have laughed. Two, the faith of Abraham has been applied over and over throughout his life. People, I'm trying so desperately last Sunday, this Sunday. This doesn't happen overnight. Offering Isaac coming up in a while, he does it. That doesn't happen overnight. This kind of faith, when his body is sexually dead, has a promise, doesn't even think about it, just trust God, does not happen overnight. Abraham's called in the Ur of Chaldees, where they worshipped all these gods, including Allah, the moon god, and all that. He trusted God in salvation. He trusted God in leaving the Ur of the Chaldees. You got to think about it. We think nothing about moving. Jump a plane, jump a train, car, thumb, hitchhike, whatever. We don't think anything about it. I wonder how many of us live within 15 miles of where we were born. Anybody? Just out of fun. Does anybody live 15 miles from where you were born? No. But this is way, this is so important. Oh, that's right. And Noah. But 4,000 years ago, they didn't travel like that. He trusted God and left the Ur of the Chaldees. Not only that, he left his father. And I don't have time to go through the bondage that was there between he and his father. But he left his father. People, you got to walk by faith. Boom, boom. And then as the challenges get bigger, the faith doesn't get stronger. I'm gonna have difficulty, but I want to try to teach you. God is not looking for more faith. That would make faith a works. It takes no more faith for you to make it through, say, cancer or financial loss or divorce or hurt or death of somebody than it did to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. We believe with Jesus Christ with a grain of mustard seed, He saved us eternally. That's all He's looking for. Yes, circumstances make it more difficult to give Him a grain of mustard seed of faith. But Abraham's been doing this now. Been doing this. So when Abraham now is 99 years old, sexually unable to perform, God says you're going to have a kid, an offspring of your own. I believe it. I believe it. I believed you when I left the Ur of the Chaldees. I believed you when I left my father. I believed you when you gave me the covenants. I believe this. I believe it. And it's going to be fun to see how you're going to work this out. It's going to be really fun. The little pill hasn't been invented yet, so I don't know how you're going to do this, God. So what I want you to see is the faith of Abraham has been applied over and over throughout his life. And each step of the way, the challenge of God mounted. Yet he kept right on believing God. He kept right on trusting God. Now 99, sexually dead, receives a promise of an offspring. He doesn't even doubt it for a moment. People, he's a hero, but he's not like he's special. He's just like you. Just like all of us. Sarah's just like all of us. Remember, how you handle a disaster is going to be dependent on how you walked every day, day in and day out. Did you fall apart? Did you fall apart when the garage door wouldn't open? Did you fall apart when the TV wouldn't work? Did you fall apart when this happened and that happened? And da-da-da-da and da-da-da. Well, I got bad news for you when disaster hits. is walk, walk, faith, faith. Point three, the test of faith. No faith, little faith. This is the test of faith is a test of faith and trust in God. His knowing God, trusting God. As we grow in life, in our faith life, test will increase in intensity. Maybe in irresponsibility. Maybe in impossibility. Yet, as we grow, we know more and more about God. He's capable of taking care of all things. He's capable of taking care of things. And we trust Him. Yeah, be more difficult. Things may be impossible. Things may be critical. But it's the same God that you believed in for eternal life salvation. Point four, the test of faith comes along with increased knowledge of God, knowledge of God's plan. The more we learn about God, the more we walk by faith in the Spirit, the closer relationship we have with God. The more we understand God, the more we respect His person, His abilities, the easier it is to just trust Him, no matter the circumstances. Were you angry with God yesterday? Were you doubted God yesterday? Today you trust Him. It's the same amount of faith. That's great a mustard seed of faith. Remember, God is not looking for more faith. That would make faith a works. The standard of measurement, a grain of mustard seed. Verse 19, without becoming weak, in reference to faith, he, Abraham, contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham's faith is not divorced from reality, people. And this is very important. I've learned how important it is today. His faith is not divorced from reality. There are preachers and movements today, oh, speak it and it'll happen. Don't speak it and it won't happen. Just deny and it won't happen. Don't use the word cancer and you won't get it. Don't talk about these things. Talk about wealth and it'll happen. Just think about wealth and think good thoughts and it'll happen. And one of the primary preachers of all of this in Houston actually tells from the pulpit, tells ladies to paint their baby's room in the color of the baby they want, pink or blue. It'll happen. I'm just amazed. What I'm really amazed is that people believe this stuff. These people don't have a promise from God. Faith is not denial. That's not faith. That's stupidity. That's a drunk. Faith says, hey, this is a hopeless circumstance. I trust you. Faith does not deny reality. Abraham did not ignore the problem in hopes that it would just go away. Abraham did not speak himself sexually alive. Sarah did not speak herself sexually alive. They trusted God. This is very important, people. He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. Why does the Holy Spirit tell us that? His faith is right there. He understands what's going on. He's not in denial. We have the aorist active infinitive of kata noeo. Noeo is the word for mind or nous, the function of the mind, contemplation. The word means to notice, to observe, to contemplate. In other words, gentlemen, Abraham knew he was sexually dead. No denying it. No making excuses to Sarah. It's over. He completely understood his own body, now as good as dead. Passive voice, his body's received being dead. He was aware of the hopeless circumstances, hopeless condition. not being physically dead, but sexually dead. And you know what? He didn't blame Sarah either. Just, this is a fact of life. And we do not know how this affected him before the promise. But once the promise was given, it caused him to take a good look at himself and know that there was nothing he could do about it. There was nothing he could do to make himself sexually alive. He could not think or take a little green tablet, go to the gym, do all his stuff. Nope. He was dead. He contemplated and understood his own body, good as dead. People, his faith was just the opposite of his body. His body was as good as dead. His faith was alive. And I hope we're learning some things about faith in your life. Things are going to happen maybe in this country. Maybe in your life. Maybe physically, financially, emotionally, hell, I don't know. This is what we've got to grab hold of. Are we going to trust him? Since he was about 100 years old and likewise, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah probably could copulate but could not get pregnant. Becoming sexually dead? Great problem. And it's a great problem in multitudes of people today. I mean, just think of our society. We have all kinds of surgeries. Facelifts, breast lifts, tucks, pushes, pulls. All kinds of stuff today. Trying to deal with this. People, sooner or later, got to face reality. I'm not saying don't give up, don't exercise, take care of yourself, but face reality. Be obsessed with Christ and God, not who you are in the flesh, but who you are in Christ. Let's look at verse 20. If we can make a little headway here. Okay, we have more of Abraham's faith. Faith is the battle. Paul says, I fight the good fight of faith. Faith is the victory. Verse 20, yet with respect to or in reference to the promise of God. Okay, I don't want you to miss what's happening here in the Greek. Verse 19, let's see, put it on a hill. Verse 19, here's his body. Verse 20, we have the promise. Verse 19, his own body. Verse 20, the promise of God. And people, they are in contradiction. They're in contradiction. And yet, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Okay, we got to finish this, at least this part. Okay, first of all, we have the aorist, passive indicative of diaquino. The word not waver, this is something going on in the mind. In the mind, plus a negative. Dia denotes separation. Crino means to distinguish. Putting all the facts out. Separating all the facts means to decide, to judge, to examine all the facts, separate them, evaluate them, judge them. And then come to a conclusion. The aorist passive. To separate oneself, to contend with. Passive means to be in strife with oneself. You're in battle with all that's going on inside. To be in strife. I remember this with the negative. But I'm just telling you what the word means. It means to be in strife with oneself. To doubt. To hesitate. To go back and forth. Here's the promise. Here's my body. Here's the promise. Here's the body. How's this going to happen? This can't happen. It's all over. God's just playing a trick. God's just playing games with me. God just not serious. God does. It's with the negative. Doesn't mean he went back and forth. With the negative, Abraham did not have this doubt. Did not strive within himself. See? Here's the promise. Here's my condition. There's the promise maker. I'm going to focus on the promise maker. I'm going to focus on God. People, you've got to decide for yourself. Here are the conditions of your life. Here's your relationship with Christ, which is more real. We don't have promises like he does here. But we have the promise all things will work together for good to those who love him. Stop loving him. Start doubting him. Stop trusting. Okay? Then it's not going to do it. Don't claim that verse if you doubt. Don't claim that verse if you don't want to walk by faith in the Spirit and have the Spirit pour in that love. So he did not contend within himself. Let me read to you James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. In fact, let's turn to James. I want to look at a couple of verses here, if you don't mind. James. There's just so much to learn about faith. As we get older, we examine it more, study more, think more. I just love the phrase, let him come with the faith of a child. Just simple faith. Eat this. Boom. Okay. They just, unbelievable faith. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be in heaven with him forever. I'm 7 years old, told that. Okay, that's good. I don't understand a whole lot of stuff. That's it. But as we grow older, we think about it, we dissect it, we analyze, we this, we that, and we can always keep learning about faith. Look at James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. Now here's our word, diakrinos. That word doubting, in our passage it was translated wavering, here it's doubting. Diakrino. Yes, God will do it. No, God will not do it. Yes, no, yes, no, without doubting. For the one who doubts, diakrino, is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the winds. May make some good surfing, but it makes a lousy spiritual life. Verse 7. For let not that man, wavering in faith, one doubting, expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Well, but I had a little bit, I did a little doubting, I want to get. No. See? Faith is a grain of mustard seed. It's either there or not. So let that man, one wavering in faith, expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. What's going on here? Remember, faith is passive. Receives from the Lord. Faith receives. But if you do not offer solid faith, the size of a mustard seed, you're not going to receive from God. Okay, continue in verse 7. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. And I love verse 8. Being a double-minded man. No, ladies, this isn't a guy who dates one girl one night and one girl another night. That isn't what this is. Double-minded means look at God, look at the flesh. Look at God, look at flesh. You're living up here and you're living down here. Don't get to do that. It's like Israel. Israel in their time, when they were in their dark time, they would go up on their rooftop to worship God and they would offer sacrifices to the idols. You don't get to do that. So double-minded means you're in the flesh, in the spirit. People, you're either in the spirit or you're not. You're either trusting or you're not. Okay, let's go back to Romans 4:20 now. Romans 4:20. In respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. The aorist tense gathers the time span from the giving of the promise till it was consummated. Abraham maintained constant faith in God. He did not go back and forth between the promise of God and his physical condition. God was more real than his physical circumstances. People, you got to ask yourself, is God more real than my physical circumstances? Is God more real than what's going on in my life, in the world, whatever? Is my God more real? And though we'll not study it, I just keep bringing it up because a lot is made about Abraham offering Isaac. Do you get to see why it was not a big deal for him? Hey, wait a minute. God gave me eternal life. God gave life back to my body that was dead. Man, you can bring Isaac back. That's easy for God. See, he knew God. He learned about God. God gives life, brings back life. All these things. Okay, I offer Isaac. Boom, boom, boom. He raises him from the dead. It's all in. The promise is still there. Everything's intact. I have no problem. He didn't sit there and say, well, now, wait a minute. No one's ever been brought back from the dead. Wait a minute. I was brought back from the dead. See? Faith, just you have your life, and it grows and grows and grows. See, what grows? Your faith, how easy it is just to keep trusting Him, your knowledge of Him. See, so God was more real to him than the circumstances of life. He did not waver or stagger or doubt in unbelief. And this time we have apistia, pistia being faith, that A in front of it, unbelief. Unbelief occurs when we get our eyes on self. Unbelief occurs when we get our eyes on circumstances. And don't lie to yourself. Oh, no, I still believe I did. No, no. You got your eyes on circumstances. You're depressed. You're heavy laden with that. Or you got your eyes on Him and there's the rest. It's that simple, people. Unbelief occurs. Get our eyes on self, on circumstances, and off the Lord. Off the Holy Spirit. Again, you have to grow in your relationship with the Lord, grow in the knowledge of Scripture, constantly keeping your eyes focused and thinking on the Lord. It's all up here. The battle's up here. The battle's the mind. One of my favorite books, Whitaker Chambers, in a book, Cold Friday. Whitaker Chambers is a political figure, and he was a communist. And he said, we're in a battle. And the battlefield is men's minds. Not economics, not even politics, not capitalism, communism. The battle's in men's minds. The battle is in your mind. In our study of stress, anxiety, depression, what did we see? Thoughts precede action. You fall apart, you become depressed. Thoughts preceded depression. Thoughts, you thought it before you're depressed. Anxiety. You think it before you go into anxiety. Thoughts precede action. The battle is your mind. So here it is in unbelief. Now for the positive side of Abraham's faith. Look what it says. But grew strong in faith. Now again on the surface, this looks like faith is a force with magnitude, measurable magnitude. Small amount of magnitude of faith, large amount of magnitude of faith. But again, this is not what is going on. God is not looking for more faith, people. That makes faith a works. People like that idea. Oh, I learn more doctrine. I serve Him more. I do more. I have more faith. And da, 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 da. God is not looking for more faith. The standard of measurement with God is a grain of mustard seed. He saved you eternally with that. God is not looking for more faith from Abraham or any believer. Any at all. To make faith works, God is looking for a standard of measurement, a grain of mustard seed. So what does this mean? Let's take a look. But grew strong in faith. Okay, let's take a look at the word but. This time we have a strong conjunction of contrast, a la but. Setting up a contrast between Abraham's faith. We need to learn more about Abraham's faith. Not wavering in that grain of mustard seed of faith, but in contrast to wavering, in other words, contrast to no faith, grew strong. Aorist passive indicative of in dunamao. Comes from dunamai, power, ability. Now, two dimensions of faith that we can learn here. First, to strengthen, to empower. The Lord strengthens. Let me just read to you for the sake of time, but you can write it down. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. This is not faith. This is by the power of the work of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Jesus Christ strengthens the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I think, T-H-A-N-K, I think Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service. Here Paul is strengthened. That is, he is made able by Christ. Second dimension, to be strengthened in faith. To be strengthened in faith means that Abraham walked by faith and saw more and more the deliverance of the Lord. The best way I know how to talk about strong faith means it's just easier to trust. And that's where you kind of think about it being a muscle, but it's not. It's just easier to trust Him. That's all it means. Strong faith means it's easier to trust Him. And by the time we get to the Isaac story, sacrificing Isaac, it's easy. He doesn't have this big muscle, Herculean size muscle. It's just, I've seen God give life. I've seen God give life. I've seen God give life. I trust Him. That's what it means to be strong. Easier to come up with a grain of mustard seed of faith. We should give thanks that a grain of mustard seed is all the faith that God is looking for. Because I'm going to tell you something, people. Some of you may be taken to the point where that's all you can come up with. Now would be a good time to go read some of the Psalms. David. David talks about he's hurting so much that his intern's stomach is dragging on the ground. And all he can do is just trust. That's how hard it hurts. Please be glad that God isn't looking for a big amount of strong faith. Only the mighty get to do this. Every one of you can do this. No matter how horrible things are. You know, Father, I just didn't think things could get this bad. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. I just trust you. Poor Job went through 41 chapters of suffering. Chapter 42, I retract everything I've said. You're God. I trust you. I don't understand. I just trust you. People, remember, God isn't looking for our understanding sometime. He's just looking for our faith. Our trust. I study the Bible. My whole life is about understanding this book, but I've come to the one real strong conclusion. God often doesn't want our understanding. He wants our faith. Don't understand. You can't understand. It's beyond you to understand. These are the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These are things of God. They're not even able. You're not even beginning to be able to understand the thoughts of God. With Job, he talked about things he did. Other places in the Bible, he talks about the thinking of God. You're not even understanding. I don't know what God is doing. What's God doing in the Middle East? What's God doing in Egypt? What's God going to do with this little country of His chosen people of Israel? And all around Him are these hating people, the Muslims, and they hate them. They want to kill them. What are you doing, God? Hey, go back to the Holocaust, people, where they were marched into furnaces and burned. What are you doing, God? You just let me be in control. The arrogance of man, we love to judge God, don't we? That's one of our second favorite pastimes. Our first favorite pastime is judge each other. Our second favorite thing is to judge God. I wouldn't do this if I were God. Well, you're not God. But I don't understand why God would do. I don't believe there is a God. On and on and on. What arrogance. People, you cannot fathom the things of God. You weren't here when the first world was created and the angelic conflict evolved, and then he put it all on a freeze, and then he opened up the refrigerator and warm cooled it all off in Genesis 1-2 and 1 verse chapter 1 verse 2 and on and then all through human history and all through eternity future. You don't know. Just trust him. He's God. This is why faith is the battle. Faith is the victory. Get your mind on him. Not on yourself, not on circumstances, but on him. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Let's take a look. Point one, you can walk by faith. You can walk by faith and doubt. That's false. You cannot walk by faith and doubt. Doubt cancels faith. Two. Second premise, God will act in response to your faith, even if your faith is mixed with doubt. That's false. No, he will not. Truth is, God is looking for a grain of mustard seed of faith alone. And people, let me just encourage you, if you hit this really rugged point in your life, don't try to examine it all. That will just tear your faith down. Just take the one simple thing. I trust you. Don't know what you're going to do in this circumstance. Don't know what you're doing to get me here. I don't know, understand, but I'm going to trust you. And you'll find me out by the pool taking a sunbath. Well, not in this weather. But you'll find me at the mall. I've got to trust you. I can't figure it out. I'm not supposed to figure it out, people. Three. Third false conclusion. Faith grows. Your faith gets stronger. That's false. It does not get stronger. God is not looking for more faith. God is looking for a grain of mustard seed of faith. That's all he's looking for. There's a great deal of false teaching in regard to faith. They teach that faith is like a muscle. You want to lift 10 pounds, have 10 pounds of muscle. 100 pounds, 100 pounds of muscle. People, that's not what's happening with faith. Now, to help us see that this is not talking about strong in the sense of more faith and all of that and this type of deal, we got some Greek words we want to look at. But let me just start off. Look at Matthew chapter 17 with me a moment, please. Matthew 17. How much faith did it take for God to give you eternal life, to impute you with righteousness, give you eternal security, save you forever, seal you with the Holy Spirit? Oh, a grain of mustard seed. Why do you think he needs more faith now? Is the task bigger for God? Oh, I get it! Imputing me unrighteous with righteousness and saving me eternally is nothing compared to getting me through this cancer. I get it. It's nothing compared to sustaining me through this financial loss. I get it. This is more difficult for God, so he wants me to come up with more faith. How arrogant. Blasphemous. People, it was nothing for him to give you eternal life. It's easier for him to take care of us in life. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" Okay, cast out the demon. Verse 20. And he said to them, because of the littleness, of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, watch this, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, I don't know why the New American Standard and the NIV translates the Greek little faith. I don't know why. The thundering King James has it correctly. Unbelief. No faith. The Greek word is apistia, our word. No faith. Unbelief. That's what the King James says. Unbelief. Not little. Unbelief. Please look at Hebrews chapter 3 a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. You all know the story. Children of Israel, taken by God out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, picture of salvation, one eternal life salvation, all the miracles, all the firstborn, and all the angel of death, all the things that happened there. They didn't enter into the promised land. They didn't enter into the promised land. Why did they not enter into the promised land? Hebrews 3:19. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Not failure to keep the law. Failure to trust Him. Failure to trust Him with a grain of mustard seed. So, and then let me just read for you Matthew chapter 13, 58. He did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. It's amazing how sometimes they didn't believe, sometimes little faith. People, it's not a little faith. It's not like, well, they just didn't have enough. It's either faith or no faith. It's a grain of mustard seed or no faith, people. It's either that and doubt. And doubt cancels out the faith. So Abraham found it easy. He was strong in faith. It means he found it easier just to trust Him. We're going through, we spent all this time on Abraham's battle and his body and all that. He just went right through it. If he were sitting here, he said, why are y'all making such a big deal? I just looked at my body, looked at the promise, trusted God, and boom. One night it happened. Sarah and I had a great time. Y'all are doing all this work on it. We're learning about your faith, Abraham. Because you see, we want that same kind of faith in our life. We want that same grain of mustard seed of faith when we come up against impossible circumstances. When it looks like God doesn't love us, when it looks like God isn't there, looks like God doesn't care. We want to have that kind of faith. That's what we're going through in this study. We'll resume here next Sunday morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. What we're learning about here, Heavenly Father, is You. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What You requested of Abraham, what You requested of Adam and Eve, what You request of us, it's all the same. The greatest glory we can give You is to trust You. It's the greatest glory we can give You. Just trust You. Not by giving money, not by singing, not by praise, not by learning, but just trusting You. It's the greatest praise, greatest glory that You're a God we can trust, regardless of the circumstances. Father, I pray You'll take the things we've seen this morning and become a reality in our soul and then in our lives. that you may be glorified in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.